Lord our God, for your word we give thanks. For the testimony of your word concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in infancy, we give you thanks. And for the testimony of your word concerning our Lord's coming in glory, we look with eager anticipation. So today, Lord, as we take a few moments to consider what the Word of God says to us about our Lord, may our hearts be illuminated by the working of your Spirit, and may we be changed by the power of your Word. Speak to us now, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. I have half the number of pages that I typically have in my notes, so hopefully that will work out. For the past 4 weeks, I've been asking the question, why? Why did Jesus Christ come into the world? And you know, the whole idea, Jeff alluded to this last night, the whole idea of the incarnation of God is crazy. That's wild. That the very God who spoke the universe into being ex nihilo, out of nothing, from his mouth, that this God entered his own created realm from which he was distinct eternally is crazy. And then that he did so in this most peculiar and unimaginable means. The way I wrote it, please, I hope nobody's offended. I don't think you will be. The God of creation squeezed himself into a single cell that multiplied and grew. And then he squeezed, the God of the universe squeezed himself into the world the same way that you and I came into this world, through his mother's womb. The only difference, the only manifest difference, is that his mother was a virgin. And that's crazy. That's a wild story. C.S. Lewis, I think it was, said the very strangeness of the gospel message makes it all the more believable for me, because people don't think up this stuff. God, the all-knowing, almighty, omnipresent designer, creator, sustainer of everything, took on helpless infancy. And he had to be fed, and he had to be washed, and he had to be changed, and he had to be carried. And that is, by light years, more strange than science fiction. And so I've been posing that question, why did God do this? And the answer that I've been providing is the words of the Apostle Paul. As he spoke, here is a trustworthy saying, worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's why this day is here. And today I want to present another answer to that question. It's actually the same answer, but differently worded. And again, same author speaking these words, the Apostle Paul. But this time, Paul answers the question not only of why God entered the world in this way, but in some he speaks also to the how, to the method of Christ coming into the world. So I'm going to read today from Galatians chapter 4. And if you wish to follow along, you may. I'm going to read verses 4 through 7. And I was going to read this from the King James because that's what I had on that Kindle, but I need a tutorial program or something. All right, Galatians 4:4. Hear the word of the Lord. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. This is the word of the Lord. And it really is the word of the Lord, too. I don't say those words without... I say those words to help you remember. These aren't my words, they aren't... Paul spoke them, but they were given to him. I love that the language of verse 4, how it expresses the ways and the means through which Christ came into the world. But when the time had fully come, and that is the language of pregnancy. It's the way we speak of childbirth. It's the way the Bible speaks of childbirth. In fact, the exact same Greek expression is used in Luke chapter 1, where Luke speaks of the birth of John the Baptist. Exact same Greek expression. Now Elizabeth's full time had come. Exact same words in the Greek. So this is language of pregnancy. But I don't think in this particular case that it is Mary's pregnancy that's being referred to, but the world's pregnancy. The fullness of time that's being spoken of is the earth being ready. So Paul also speaks of the earth experiencing birth pains as we experience birth pains in anticipation of Christ's second coming. Here in view is the eager expectation for his coming into the world the first time. So it's a season that's being spoken of, a fixed period as God prepares the world for the time of Christ's coming. I suppose it's appropriate to say it this way. Christ came into the world at just the right time. The time that God had established for the gestation of a Savior. From the time of the promise in Genesis 3:15 till the time he came, this was exactly the right time. God knew what he was doing. And, I'll just add, sort of, we should also safely assume that Christ's second coming into the world, his re-entrance, if you will take place at the right time. When's Christ coming? At the right time. That's enough for me, okay? We sang the song last night, Long Lay the World in Sin and Error Pining. How long? Long enough. Just the right amount of time. So when the full term would be an accurate translation, when the full term had come, God sent his Son. And implied in that statement is the pre-incarnate existence of the Son of God. He was sent from one realm to another. So he existed prior to his coming into this world, which is to say, the Lord that we speak of did not come into existence at the birth of Christ. And as a matter of fact, he did not come into existence ever. He existed with the Father and with the Holy Spirit eternally. Nevertheless, things changed. There was never a time he was not. It will never be a time that he is. But in sending his Son, the Son became something he had not been before. A man. A human being. God himself. Incarnate in flesh. There are those who would make of him less than a man. There are those, the Gnostics, for example, who would deny the physical existence of Christ. Josh and I talked a little bit about this last night. His form, his physicality, they would say, was just an illusion. And there are those who would make of him less than a god. I don't often pick on people, but this is one that's worthy of picking on. The Jehovah's Witnesses, who deny that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, begotten, not made. He's, according to them, the creation of God, but not God the Creator. The Bible presents a Savior who is fully God and fully man, sent from the Father into the world at just the right time. And then his humanity is spoken of or evidenced in the means of his coming. Scripture says again, but when the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, that speaks of the deity of Jesus, born of woman, that speaks of the humanity of Jesus. How did Christ come into the world? The very same way that you and I came into the world, except his mama was a virgin. Otherwise, to all appearances, Jesus Christ was as ordinary as any child ever was. And indeed, in respect to his humanity, he was ordinary entering the world through the ordinary means. He was born of woman. But then Paul says, gets to the point, why did he come? He was born under the law to redeem those under the law. To redeem, that is, to purchase or to buy them out from under the law. He became subjected to the law, perfectly and completely fulfilling the law, and then dying on the cross, purchasing us from the dominion of sin and from the dominion of the law. Why are we not under the law but under grace? Because Christ came and he paid the price. He redeemed us from the dominion of the law and from the dominion of sin. And it's the very thing we've been speaking about the past few weeks as we've taken an interlude in Exodus and jumped over to Romans chapter 6 and 7 and next week first chapter 8. I hope I'm not alone in this. Because it's Christmas. And everybody wants Christmas to be all pretty and neat and comfy and cozy. And I understand, and I want Christmas to be that too. But I hope I'm not alone in this. I hope there are other pastors who find it impossible to speak about and refer to the birth of Christ without also referring to the cross of Christ. Because, yeah, that makes the day less comfortable, but you know what? It was for this reason that he came into the world. It was for this reason that he was born. He was born to redeem. He was born to pay the price. He was born to endure the cross. To what end? This is what Paul says. That we might receive the full rights of sons of God. That's pretty amazing. This is why he was born. This is why he lived. This is why he died. So that renegades could be brought into the family of God. Sons and daughters of the Most High. In other words, he did all this. I hope you don't mind me saying, but I really love the way I worded this. He did all this in order that we might join him in this blessed word, Abba. He did this in order that we might join him in this blessed word, Abba. He came into the world, sent from God, born of woman, born under the law, in order that we might say of his Father, our Father. And with that, I'll close. That was my shortest message in a long time.